Hi and welcome to the Travel Hero podcast by ITB. Are you ready to reveal some superpowers of the great minds of the tourism industry? Here's your host, Nico Gutia.
Our guest today, Verena Keimer. How are you?
I'm very fine today. Enjoying ITB so far.
That's good. You look happy.
Yes, thank you. I am happy and I'm excited to be here today and have our little chat.
We do. We'd like to welcome you to the Travel Hero podcast. And you are one of those. You are a travel hero. Do you consider yourself as that?
Actually, to be honest, I was flattered to be invited as a travel hero. I would say I'm more of a travel enthusiast, and I've probably worked in this industry now for more than 20 years, so I really love it. But whether I'm a hero, I would leave that for others to decide.
But you're successful. It's hard to say that about
themselves. I think that's always tough. I think especially for females, you know, it's really tough to go out then to say, yeah, I'm brilliant, I'm the woman. So I think we're more reluctant to sort of say that. But let's say, I would say I'm pleased with the sort of progress I've made. I've enjoyed myself. I've always been really lucky in terms of the companies I've worked with, the colleagues. That's always been really enjoyable. And I absolutely love the travel industry. And that's why I'd say I would consider that to be successful.
Absolutely. Tell me, what was the day when you know it's going to be travel?
Actually, already in school, right from the beginning, I was set on travel. I knew I wanted to work in marketing and travel, and I started out as at Frankfurt Airport Authorities, where I did my studies. And I'm just fascinated because I think it's such a cool industry because it's quite volatile. So you're really dependent on what's happening in the market. There's so many challenges. That's why there's never a dull moment, and that's what I like about it.
What was the most challenging moment in your history of work?
Most challenging, I think. What personally I found tough was a time when I had to do like quite a big team restructure. And we had to replace some team members. That, I think, was tough for me personally because I do enjoy developing people and seeing them grow rather than sort of taking drastic... seeing them go. So that, for me, was a personal challenge, just something I had to do I'm not keen on a repeat performance, I would say. But I think that's probably challenging for everyone, you know. Otherwise, I think challenges are there to be solved, you know, especially if you do them to together with your team.
You started with a camper sharing.
No, I actually started, that's where I was last, before I joined Travelzoo. I actually started out at Frankfurt Airport, then British Airways. I worked for EasyJet for a long time, for Holiday Check, and then camper sharing.
Which so you was see, you kept it a secret for me.
I kept it a secret, yeah, no worries. And camper sharing, that was Paul Kemper, a startup that was really interesting because it's a marketplace. And I'd never worked for a marketplace before, you know, where it's all about generating supply and demand. So let's say if you go into new markets, you've got to make sure the supply is ready before you have the big PR or marketing launch. And the companies I used to work for before were different. You always go in with a big bang. So that was really interesting. To sort of understand the dynamics of marketplaces. Yeah.
Strange, but interesting.
Yeah, I should think so.
You are well known for projects get delivered on time and on budget, and you wrote it yourself on LinkedIn.
Oh yeah, I wrote it on LinkedIn, yeah. Yeah. That's important, you know, like if you have a project like the ITB now, for instance, where I've organized our stand for Travelzoo, that has obviously got to be ready for the big day. We've managed that and it was within budget. But that sort of applies to all of marketing campaigns that you run. You try to be on time and budget.
Are you better in big or in small budgets?
Well, I've had both. I've actually had both in the jobs I've been, I think, and I'm not sure which one is easier, you know. I think in a lot of CEOs, especially in the startups, they look for a solution that doesn't cost anything, yeah. You know, like everyone wants to do growth hacking, what sort of growth marketing, and do it like Airbnb, all of a sudden have a hack and then you go really big. So that, I think, it's the sort of challenging thing that not many people solve. Otherwise, you know, there'd be no more challenges out there. Yeah,
So you're good in both?
I think I'm good in both. I've had both. Maybe there's always pressure to deliver, to reach your KPIs. And I don't think it matters whether you've only been given 10,000 or 10 million, because at the end of the day, you need to deliver. and it's maybe even harder for that startup, you know, for someone like Paul Kemper to give you 10,000 than it is for a big brand to give you, obviously, 10,000. You know, they're more likely, to be able to write it off.
Do you have to be tougher as a woman in this industry?
Personally, and I've been thinking about that question, I think I've been lucky, but it's also because I've worked in markets, you know, like Germany, the UK and Switzerland, where I think we're really lucky. But yesterday we went because we're already very empowered as females, and I don't feel that there's many obstacles or barriers. I just feel there's challenges that everyone faces, like we've discussed before. But yesterday we went for dinner with our global head of brand, and she's based in Japan, and she was telling us that there it's not accepted or expected of women to work. So she ultimately comes from a totally different starting point, you know, and you're not allowed to get help in your household. It's limited to, I think, something like 3 hours, because they expect you to be at home. So obviously, if you then have to launch a career, you're coming from a totally different starting point than I do here in Germany, where ultimately we're quite enabled, you know. So that really shocked me and surprised me yesterday. So I learned something new.
It's hard to believe. Yeah,
it's very hard to believe. I thought that was very interesting. Yeah.
More than 20 years of experience. What is your best advice for the next generation coming up right now?
Best advice, I think you can always learn something from everyone, even if you talk to the doorman in your company or the receptionist. So I think it's always, you got to be friendly, you got to be open, and you've got to ask questions. And I think and exchange with people, also for a startup. You know, when you work at a startup and you have to make 1,000 decisions, let's not make the same mistakes twice that already another startup has gone through. So it's very important, I think, to connect, to network, and to discuss stuff, and then you can really learn from that. And I've always followed this advice, you know, that I can learn from everyone, and I think that's something that's been, to me at least, helpful.
I appreciate that. For me too. It's always, sometimes people not standing right in front of the topic are so much better with a good idea out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, exactly. And then you can just bounce it off.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's even really trivial stuff that you that you learn, you know, like, I don't know, just sort of like, if you've had a meeting, one of the sales guys I used to work with, that was in the beginning of my career, said he always does a quick follow-up, you know, one quick thing, and then takes his time to deliver the rest of the agreed action points. But so you get an immediate email after the meeting. I thought that was a good advice, but that's just something really small, isn't it? But impactful.
Absolutely. You're head of marketing at TravelZoo.
Yes.
What does this mean? We all know what a head of marketing really does, but I guess there are like 10,000 other things to do.
And I think also the title can be so misleading, because you don't tend to do the same thing at every company that you do, that you work at. At TravelZoo, my job is really pretty much about motivating people that are interested in traveling to join our membership base, so that we can inspire them with the email communications that we send out, notifying you of great deals, travel deals and entertainment deals, so that you can get your bum off your sofa and you can go out there as the serial couch would say. No, only joking. That you can get into action and explore the world. So that's sort of our company purpose, is really inspiring you to explore the world. So my job is to acquire new members so that we grow, and to retain existing ones. So to make sure we have content that's enticing, so that you come back, that you open our newsletter, and that you engage with us.
How is your normal day? Struggled.
Struggled. Sometimes it's
maybe
a struggle.
It is.
But usually not always.
So what is the plan of your day?
A plan of the day. So I think it's a mixture of, it's a good job at TravelZoo, because it's a mixture of working, doing strategic stuff, as well as really being operational as well. And I like that. I like to do still hands-on marketing and not just sit in management meetings, but that's just me. So it's a mixture of having meetings, team meetings, updates, answering emails, sort of the usual, you know, and the sort of areas that I'm involved in is PR, social media. We do a lot of acquisition campaigns and performance marketing to attract new numbers. So it's also looking at campaign performance, analyzing, optimizing, making decisions. So that's it's quite a broad mix, and that makes it interesting.
When you leave work, do you leave work?
That is sometimes challenging. I would say probably no. You know, all the companies I've worked with, I've been super passionate, and then I find it quite difficult not to think about the company when I go home. So that was especially tough at Paul Kemper, because I decided to purchase my own camper van to really understand the business of private camper sharing. And there, and then with my partner together, the two of us, we just discussed this non-stop 24/7. And that then got to the point where it was just too much camper sharing, you know?
Yeah, I know that point. So you're happy at the moment?
I'm happy, yes.
Even though you work a lot?
Yeah, I work a lot, but it's rewarding because it's a great team at Travel Zoo. It's an interesting company and product, and I have a lot of sort of challenges. We're building the team, so I'm currently recruiting. So if you know any good social media managers, that should send them my way. So we're recruiting, building the team, setting processes and structures, and I love doing that. So it's been quite rewarding so far.
What does travel look like in 10 years from now?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because we've heard a lot about over-tourism. So I think it's really going to be important that all the companies that work within travel, from tour operators, destination as marketing boards, people like our company, find solutions how we can make existing destinations more interesting, so that you don't just go to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower, but you find out what else there is to explore. That we are smarter in working with crowds. So let's say you open up a venue at 8, so that you get previews in rather than at 9, so you manage queues. That we find creative ways to sort of manage crowds, look into new destinations, look into alternative travel forms. So I think it will continue to be really interesting, because you've also got big markets, you know, from Asia who all want to explore Europe. So what does, let's say, London and Paris do to cope with that?
Yeah, let's search for an example. We took Stonehenge. We have Stonehenge. It's in a rural area.
Yeah.
And there's just one thing.
One thing Stonehenge. There, yeah.
Everyone want to go there.
Yeah.
What could be a good invention that not like 5,000 people in one moment are looking at the stones?
Yeah, in a way it's probably then queue management, isn't it? That you sort of try to entice people to come at different times, you know?
Like 1,500 travel businesses,
I know,
putting people there.
It's very difficult. So that would be one thing, you know, to sort of try to extend the time that you can actually interact with it.
You can make a virtual reality Stonehenge.
I was just
directly
about to say that, thinking into digital ways, you know, but I suppose that's difficult. If you really want to go there, you know, would you be happy, Nico, if I said to you, you can only really watch it on a big screen 2 kilometers away? I'm not allowing you to go near the premises. I don't know. But that, I think, is really challenging what you do there. I think it's like we heard examples yesterday where it's easier, you know, if there's more than one thing to do, you can try and motivate someone to not just check out the temple but to go into culinary.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they'll have to start a festival around there.
Ooh.
So that you don't just go to look at
Stonehenge.
The
I hope you're
Stonehenge,
listening to this good idea.
I don't know, but that you come up with stuff that's surrounding whatever it is, the attraction. Yeah, so I think it's going to stay very interesting in the industry, and I think everyone really needs to collaborate, because otherwise it's not going to work, you know?
Yeah.
If you just, as one company, trying to solve this sort challenges of over-tourism.
No chance for romance.
No chance for romance, yeah.
Tell me, who should listen to this talk of you?
I would hope that it's interesting for people starting out, in the travel industry, that I could sort of inspire them to embark a career. And then hopefully that it's just interesting for people who want to get an insight what the day of a marketeer can look like, you know, and just generally people interested in travel.
Are there barriers for people they want to go in the travel industry?
You mean general barriers?
Do you see anything like that?
barriers entering the industry. I think generally it's very important that you're good at languages. That's sort of a prerequisite, isn't it? Because it's an international business. So I would say more than in any other industry, you need to be able to speak more than one language. And I think you need to be open-minded, you know, interested in different cultures. So if you're not able to look beyond your own, what we say in Germany, plate, you know, if you're not able to look across, let's say, ocean, then it's going to be, I think you're going to struggle if you are full of, let's say, bias or prejudice. Is that not the right industry for you? then because it's all thrives on the different cultures, doesn't it?
And so many happy people in this industry.
Yeah, so many happy. Well, because I think it's something positive to promote, isn't it, generally? Yeah. Of course, there can be challenges as well when there's like political crisis in some destinations, or like when I used to work at BA, we had a lot of challenges around all these different, how do you call it, like SARS and the bird flu and what have you, all these big diseases, you know, and all of a sudden travelers don't want to go there, or you have acts of terror. So I think there's quite a lot of challenges the industry faces. But apart from that, it's like you said, it's a happy product you're promoting, because people are going away on vacation, they're hopefully having a good time, they're coming back relaxed. So that's why I enjoy it, you know. I cannot see myself promoting insurances, for instance, you know, but that's just me. But so that's why I think generally we don't tend to get a lot of negative feedback, you know.
You've seen a lot of the world. Which was the best place?
The best place for me is Australia. I lived there when I was 16. I was an exchange student. And that was one of the best years of my life. And I've recently been back. And we did a tour in the camper van. And we drove from all the way from Cairns south to Brisbane. And that was just awesome. For me, Australia, because the people are so friendly. They're really laid back. And there is so much to see. You've just got this huge continent and there's so much variety. So that is my preferred destination. And I still want to explore Western Australia because I haven't been there. So, ideally another camper trip, but that's more hardcore because you then have to really go into the outback and you've got to be well prepared, otherwise you might not come back.
You can't see the sparkle in her eyes, but you can hear the love in her voice.
Yes, that's where I want to go.
Last question, who's your personal superhero?
My superhero, you know, who really impressed me was one of my former bosses, the CEO at EasyJet at the time, Carolyn McCall. She's now left, but she's there for a long time, and she was great in many ways. And there's two things that I remember best. One, she was once asked what prevents her from sleeping at night, and she said it's finding the right talent for EasyJet, you know, and retaining that talent, keeping them happy. And I personally, also from my job now as a head of marketing, I think that's the most challenging, you know. How do you find the right talent? How do you keep them happy? So I thought that was a really good answer she gave. And also at the time when she joined, EasyJet was trying to get into the business market, attract more business travelers, but we were not punctual. We had like quite some operational challenges, and she was really able to set the focus. She figured out that is the biggest obstacle preventing the airline from growing, cracking that market, and she fixed it. So she had the sole focus on being punctual, and all of a sudden we could do punctual, and it was just amazing. And I think that's sort of also good advice for everyone: try to focus. You know, there's always a million interesting things you can do, especially in marketing. Think, oh, let's do this, let's do that, and at the end of the day, you stretch yourself too thin, and you really have to understand what is it that's going to make you get, you know, like five times ahead and not just double.
Yeah.
That's so she really impressed me.
She sounds like a strong.
Yeah, she's awesome, and she knew everyone by name, and we had like, I don't know, she really knew everyone, and we had in management close to 800 people at the time. And that's also, you know, that I think is very important. You want to feel appreciated as an employee and recognized, and if your CEO knows you and says, hi Nico, how are you today, it's totally different than if she goes like, oh, who is this guy, you know?
Yeah. What about you there?
What about you there?
The one with the glasses.
Yeah, the one with the glasses. What does he do again. So yeah, so she really, I have to say, she really impressed me big time. And she used to work at The Guardian before she joined EasyJet, so she was not from the travel industry, but that also shows that there's no barriers if you come from a different industry.
I'm sure you're going to be a strong idol too in some years. I wish you all the best and thanks for being here.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It was really great.
Thanks for listening to the Travel Hero podcast by ITB. If you like what you heard, make sure to check in soon again and subscribe to our channel to know when it's time to reveal another Travel Hero story.